Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Peaky Blinders Season 1, Episodes 5 and 6.
5 and 6. We were going to split this up, and yet I'm glad we did, because it is much like Umbrella Academy in that this is an action show, so there's not as much to talk about with it. It is much more, you got to watch it. We're going to do our best to describe what's happening in these last two episodes, but there is a lot going on. There's a lot of visual that's well worth watching. But we want to give our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, and there will be spoilers, possibly.
So what are we having to drink, Mom?
We are having a special rosé champagne. It is from Langtree Vineyards. And we're having champagne mostly because they have champagne in the last episode of this season, but it is super tasty and I wanted to share it with the world because I had not realized that Langtree made a champagne. They are a great vineyard and they have a lot of great other wines, but I discovered online that they had this and you can order it if you're an adult and you can have it delivered to your house, which was what we did because we don't live in California and it's really freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. You like it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Okay, so let's get into
season one, episode. I always introduce it, Mom. Season one, episode. Well, at least now I am. Season one, episode five. I'm making it a thing where I am introducing the episodes and you always step on my feet. Anyway, season one, episode five. Tommy goes to Danny's fake grave in the cemetery. Meanwhile, Polly goes to help Ada out by delivering some food. Ada's not seeing anybody because she's upset about the whole Freddy thing, thinking that Tommy was involved.
She's also not eating.
Yeah, stupid.
Despite the fact that she is breastfeeding, which is just ridiculous.
Freddy has been beaten in jail. It's not good.
No.
Polly is being cold to Tommy because, again, she thinks that he had something to do with it. He tells her again that he didn't betray Freddy, but she doesn't believe him. Tommy plans to take out Billy Kimber and his men. Arthur wants to charge a boxing ring a fee for a license. Like, Arthur is now going to a boxing ring.
Well, so what he wants is to collect for the Peaky Blinders because the boxing ring is being run in their district, I guess.
In their domain.
In their domain. It's like, hey, you gotta pay us. And he's asked who he is. And he overhears, I'm Arthur fucking Shelby, and realizes his dad is boxing in the ring.
His father who abandoned them.
Right. And so Arthur takes Dad Arthur to the house, the Shelby's house, to have dinner. And everyone's really, really, you know, like, cold to him. John's cold to him.
Gee, I wonder why.
Is like, oh my God, what the fuck is he doing here? And Tommy appears and he's like, he just tells his father get out because he had abandoned them. It's terrible. But Arthur is very defensive and he's basically
he has daddy issues.
Well, they all have daddy issues, but they deal with them differently. And Arthur's way of dealing with it is trying to find forgiveness, but is not a good choice with this man. As we later find out. But Polly, John, and Tommy are all glad to see the back of him. Like, as soon as he leaves, they're all like, good riddance to him. But Arthur's like, well, Tommy, you're selfish too. And you know, basically,
it's Tommy, you're the reason why Ada's keeping her distance.
Right. And Tommy's basically tells Arthur, like, fine, if you want to be with Dad, go with Dad. Get the fuck out. We see that Grace is working on the books when Arthur appears to take some, because Arthur's been drinking, he wants to take the petty cash. And she's like, we don't have petty cash. And so he takes a bunch out. Arthur tells Grace, though, about Danny Whizbang's grave.
Because there's a payment on the books about to Danny. And she's like, isn't he dead? And they're just like, no. He's like, no. And it's like, oh, Arthur, Arthur, that's supposed to be a secret. You could have just said, oh, it's a different Danny Whizbang in London. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be believable, but at least you wouldn't have openly admitted to this person.
Yeah, or like,
you
so you're
know.
Paying the kids or something through like a holding
company.
Okay,
I think they come up with something. You know, I say he barely knows her, but there was that time jump with the whole Ada's pregnancy thing where like they've known each other for a few months, but you still You
You're
should
not,
be
you shouldn't
more
be talking,
conscious than
you
this.
shouldn't be telling family business to anybody, let alone this random person who is technically now part of the business, but still.
Yeah.
So Arthur tells Grace that Danny is alive and being paid by the Blinders. Grace then goes to see Danny's grave and is like, huh, what did they bury here, I wonder?
It's a little out of place. Like, it doesn't quite look like the other graves around and whatever. Finn and Arthur talk to their dad.
Why he brought Finn, I don't know.
Well, because Finn's too young to actually be mad at dad, I guess. So, whatever. But Arthur Sr. says, oh, I found God! And it's been my dream to go to the U.S. and have the Shelby Casino and hotel, and I want to do this with my kids. And he is just playing Arthur like no man's business. They box. Young Arthur is losing, but older Arthur is like, oh, he did great. We then see that the IRA comes to the bar to talk to Tommy.
Well, not the whole IRA. A guy from the IRA.
From London. He's like one of the Mucky Mucks. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do anything. He's just like, I'm here basically. I mean, he's one of those real enforcer type people. And he goes to talk to Tommy. He's like, look, you know, I understand you have guns and one of our guys got killed. And
one of the guys
family.
Who happens to be his cousin.
Right. And it's family. And this is personal now. And I'm going to basically...
But also, while in London, Danny let it slip that the Blinders have the guns, but Tommy denies it, but all of the signs point to him having them. And so the IRA guy is like, hey, I want the guns or I will kill everybody. And Tommy says, oh, well, okay, fine. I do have the guns. And I do want to give them to you, but for a fair price. And then Tommy talks to Campbell about setting a trap for the IRA. So again, with the Tommy, like betrayal upon betrayal upon betrayal, he's like, okay, well, I said this one thing to this IRA guy, but I'm going to use it as a trap for Campbell to use it as a trap to arrest the IRA, and
right.
Maybe at that point give him the guns or whatever his plan is. Their dad meets Arthur, who gives him the money, and they are going to meet and up and set sail for America on Friday. Tommy shows up and shows up to the pub, the garrison, and enlists Grace's help because he is setting up a meeting for the IRA people, and because they're going to be bringing him the money and he's not going to give them the guns. And he knows that the IRA, if he accepts the money, they're just going to kill him. And so he's like, okay, Grace, here's the plan. So you are going to stand in the back. I'm giving you this gun. You're going to come out when I propose a toast. You're going to come out and just point the gun at one of the guys. And I will do the rest. Don't do anything after that. And she's like, okay, note taken. And so there's also a moment of like him like showing her how to hold a gun, of course, but she already knows. So the cops are outside of the garrison. They're ready to help because again, this is a trap for the IRA. Tommy meets with the men. It's two guys. The guy he had been speaking
guys.
To
Malachi
and
something and
Byron.
Whatever.
Burn, something like that.
Yeah.
And
the guy who had been singing before.
Yes. He gets the cash from the men and he gives them like a map to the location of the guns. He's like, you better get your shovels out. And so that's a good clue. The guys get a gun out. One of the guys gets a gun out and he's just like, yeah, you really thought that we're going to not kill you. And Tommy's just like, okay, well, here's
a toast.
To barmaids who don't count. And Grace comes out and immediately shoots the
guy.
She
opens fire.
What she's not supposed
right,
to
so
do.
She shoots one of them, but that causes the other to then either try to shoot or attack Tommy. And Tommy, you know, eventually
pushes
in the
her
fight,
out of the way.
Well, he pushes her out of the way. She hits the bar. And he's, you know, fighting with the guy Malachi, and they end up almost trying to strangle each other. Tommy gets the better of him and beats him to death with a spittoon. And you see that it's like a fit of PTSD. He's just,
Well, because the guy was about to suffocate him.
right. So Grace that is a little bit in shock, and they both realize they've seen each other. In other words, they've
They've seen
seen
the
this
worst of each
the
other.
worst of each other, and that
And
they are the same.
they have.
And they hug. And the cops come in, and Tommy's like, "Where the fuck were you? You were supposed
Also,
to
you hear
come
fire
in
in there. Why
soon."
didn't you go in?
Yeah.
That's just bad. That's not being a good cop. That's being stupid.
Right.
So
Tommy.
Tommy takes Grace home and apologizes for what she had to do and what she saw.
They share a
And
cigarette.
yeah. And so Grace meets up with Campbell and he's worried about her and Tommy getting closer.
Yes.
Grace says she doesn't feel the need to avenge her father anymore and she wants to resign. She thinks that she knows where the guns are and wants him to assure her, that Campbell to assure her that Tommy won't be harmed after
Right,
she
like
gives him the location of the
if
guns.
I tell you where the guns are, you're gonna leave Tommy alone. Basically, like, she thinks she's making a deal to save Tommy, and the inspector is just
Upset.
upset about it. He holds her hand,
Weird.
he gives his word, and she says, "Oh, the guns are in Danny's
Danny's grave.
grave." We see that Grace is singing "Stretched on Your Grave" at the Garrison, and that is the background song to other things we see, which is Arthur is waiting for his dad, and dad never shows. There are many guns found. Tommy's
All
watch
but one of the guns are found.
all but one. Tommy's watching Grace singing,
Ada's lonely with her baby.
yeah, those kinds of things. There's a lot of montage here.
Grace meets up with the cops who are at still at the grave site, and she formally resigns, and Campbell tries to propose to Grace.
And she's like, oh, no
And she
thanks.
literally, this is the way it goes down. She's like, I officially resign. And he's like, well, now that you're not my subordinates, do you want to get married? And she's like, no, you,
No.
and she's like, you
She wants
deserve
him down.
better.
Yeah, she wants him
Like,
down
she does
easily.
it well, but it's like really weird.
And it, but
He
he is.
thinks that Tommy has come between them. Well, yeah. He's also like closer to her age and not a
And
creep.
Cillian Murphy. And
Yeah,
Cillian
Murphy.
another thing is, Sam Neill, he's a good looking guy, but
Sure, but not for Grace.
no.
Arthur
He's
finds
a
his
total asshole, by the way. I'm sorry.
Arthur finds his dad at the train station, feels betrayed, and
His
his
dad's
dad's
with
just
a
like,
woman. Like,
okay.
he's about to like get on a train with the money that Arthur gave him, and it's like £500 or something. And he's a total asshole to his son. I noticed something, and it is just something. I've seen this actor before, and he does appear to have a scar, but the scar on his face is kind of like the kind that they would make for the Peaky Blinders, like they would cut people with razors on their face and stuff like that. And so it's interesting to me that he has an actual scar like that.
Okay. Polly talks to Arthur about the money, but Tommy doesn't know. And but she, Polly's like, you need to tell him. Like, he's
Yeah.
gonna find out. You might as well tell him. Tommy finds out about the guns being found, and he's upset. Campbell is determined to eradicate the blinders from the city now, especially because he thinks that Tommy has taken Grace away from him, even though she's not his to take. She is a human who made her own choice in loving Tommy, so fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off, that's right.
Arthur goes to the boxing ring drunk and wants to fight, and
No
he's being
one's gonna fight with
stupid.
him. Yeah.
Tommy tells Grace that he has to lie low for a while, but they get interrupted by Finn telling them the cops are nearby. And so Grace is like, oh, come with me. I know the back way out, even though Tommy obviously does too, but she's going to take him somewhere that the cops won't look. And so the cops go into the pub looking for
There is an
Tommy.
awesome song that's playing in the background. It's got an amazing bass guitar. Sorry, go ahead.
The Campbell threatens the bartender to get information, and the bartender's like, he left with Grace to go to her place, I think. And Campbell's like, all right, calling off the
Right,
raid.
but
I don't want her involved.
we see Grace let Tommy in. And
they discuss like how long he's gonna be there, and she's
Well,
like,
he's like, I
I
also
guess.
drink tea.
Well, not right, but you know, she's like, oh, so you're gonna be here until the morning. He's like, yes. And
Well,
I'm
no,
kind of like,
she's like, are
yes.
you going to be here? How long do you think you're gonna have to be here? And he's like, oh, until morning, I think.
It's like,
Very
yay.
charming.
And then she's like, well, I don't really have things to drink. I have tea. And he's like, I drink tea. He offers to dance with
He
her.
asks
He
because he
asks her
knows
nicely.
that she
And
wants to be
the
asked.
inspector is watching from outside and is creepy as fuck. Grace and Tommy kiss, and then clothes come off, and there's sex, and they're happy, and it's
And we
lovely.
are happy because they are
We
happy.
are because they're very cute. Um,
He and then like I don't know if it's the next morning, but when they're like waking up in each other's arms and all that stuff, he says that he did doesn't feel the shovel hear
hear
the
the
shovels
shovels.
against the wall anymore, which is what part of
His
his
PTSD,
PTSD.
yeah.
He kept hearing the shovels hitting the tunnel when he was in France, and it's been
Right,
haunting him,
right.
and he doesn't anymore.
What he says is that he wants her help with life, with all of it. And
And
then
he thinks
this,
that they can help each other.
right. So then we cut to Arthur. Arthur is, and he's depressed, and he's saying we are father, and then he tries to hang himself with a jump rope. But the rope breaks, thank goodness. The inspector, we see at his desk, and he's sending a telegram to Churchill. Arthur is at home afterwards. He's got rope burn around his neck, and Tommy sees it. And we find out that Polly has told Tommy what's been going on. Tommy says to him, "Well, you should have used a gun." He shows Arthur the business card for Arthur for their Shelby Limited, and he said, "Yeah, me and John have one third, one third, one third, but we really, really want your third. So next time, use a gun so you can really kill yourself." And they joke about it, and the family goes back to work, and we see a montage of it, and it is to Nick Cave's "Bring It On," and it's really, again, beautifully shot. What were your best parts of this episode?
Polly, Grace, and Tommy.
I had Tommy and Arthur.
I
Grace,
wouldn't say Arthur's the best part for
I
me.
think the performance is
I'm not
fucking
saying the performance
amazing. The
is bad.
performance is great. Tommy and Grace hooking up, I think, is great. Grace feeling guilty, I think, is really good. I think she does a great job with that. Polly's always great. I mean, Helen McCrory, there's not enough good stuff to say about her.
Agreed.
What were your worst parts?
Their dad. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Arthur for being gullible. I get it, but still, Ed Campbell proposing
Yeah, I have the
and
dad, the
being a creep.
inspector, and too many montages. This show does kind of devolve into montages. Some of his listeners know that's something that gets on my nerves. It happens like in The Crown and stuff like that, and it's not my favorite thing. But again, it's early in the show, and it's still really well done and meaningful. Like, you guys get to see actual stuff, so it is pretty good. So what grade did you give this episode?
I gave it a B plus. It might be an A minus.
Yeah, I gave it an A, and then I thought A minus probably. It's a good episode. It is not, it is a very good
It's an
episode.
A minus for me.
Yeah, so let's move on to episode six.
Season one,
Spoil
episode six.
spoiler, I love this episode.
Wow, that's such a spoiler, Mom.
Yeah.
So the suit maker in the Chinese
Laundry,
section.
the Chinese laundry.
Yes, is taking inventory of all the Shelby suits he has pressed and such, and Campbell comes in. Campbell's like, "Hey, I know that some of my men come here for certain services. I want those services. It's obviously
Yeah.
prostitution and all that stuff." And Campbell's a creep.
Yep.
Tommy gets Arthur awake and says, "We're doing it today." And
Whatever it is,
yes,
or
he notifies his team and his Uncle Charlie about it being today. John and Esme are interrupted by Tommy. Like
and they act
he opens the door
incoherently.
without knocking. Again, calling back to the Ada and Freddie situation where
Right.
she's like, "Yeah, Tommy wouldn't knock,"
Exactly.
and
She's
he
white.
doesn't.
She's white.
Polly is praying for the children. She for like John, Arthur, and Tommy. She says, "Protect Arthur, as he's as likely to hurt himself as anyone else."
I love the way she has specific prayers for each of them.
And she's like, "You know how Tommy is."
You know how Tommy is. It's like, I
And
think he's
John has
working for all of us, but I
responsibilities
don't
with
know.
his children and all that
Yeah,
stuff.
it's very sweet. But Tommy walks in on Polly praying, and
Tommy's like, look, this is, today's gonna be the last time you're gonna have to pray for us, because after today, everything's gonna be settled. We cut back to the inspector, who has a young girl come in to service him, and she's like, oh, we'll even have your shirts pressed while we have sex, basically.
She's like, you've never done this before, have you?
Yeah, and, like, well, and you see his internal shame about it, but it comes out on, and we see
in bad ways.
In bad ways.
Grace gets dressed as he gets undressed.
Yes.
She then goes to the museum, and she's expecting to meet with Campbell, but she's meeting with his assistant cop guy, who calls her a whore and gives her a letter from Campbell, which basically says, hey, I know what you did, and your father would be ashamed, and this for is, what did you do this for? And she says out loud, for love.
Right. But this is intercut with him having violent sex with this young girl.
And
who has called
her.
Him old. But he hurts
because she,
her.
Because he is. I'm
he
sorry.
Is, she is.
And she's like, what? Supposed to be like 15? Like, yeah, are you kidding?
It's sickening.
It's disgusting.
So the girl.
I'm sure the actress is older than that, but still,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
She flees from the inspector who actually injured her. And we then,
like,
see
there's
the
blood
Shelby's.
On her lip. How did that happen?
Because they were doing it doggy style, and her face was down on the sheets, and he was very
maybe nervous. Well, there was also like wire on the bed or something. It like could have like hit her or something. Yeah, okay, that is possible. I was like, how from that, how did she
even just friction wise? It's possible. So,
maybe she was biting her. It doesn't matter.
So.
The Shelby's show up for the suits, and the shopkeeper's like, hey, you want to hear something crazy? Campbell's here.
Yeah. And Tommy's kind of like, let me go talk to him.
Campbell mentions he has a meeting with Churchill, and he teases that Tommy doesn't know how they found the guns. And he talks about how they both hate people, and people hate them, and they fear them, and blah, 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 blah. It's like a Joker kind of like, yeah, we're the same, you and I.
Right,
and,
but you'll never find love, we'll always be alone, is
yeah.
essentially what he's saying.
And he says, before the day is over, his heart will be broken, and that men with them, like them, will always be alone. Polly talks to Ada about her two children, Sally and Michael, and how they were taken away from her because she was caught up in this whole robbery thing when she was younger.
Yeah, and also they found a gin still in
yes.
her house, and so
and
her children were taken into government custody,
and she doesn't know what happened to them.
Right, it's terrible. But she points out, like, this is never going to happen to you because Tommy's not going to let it. Tommy knows how to play the system, and you need to forgive your brother.
She also says, you have to be as bad as them in order to survive, and that's why Tommy is going to protect you.
Right, but Ada's kind of like, I don't know if I can forgive him because Frey's in jail, and Polly says, I got something to tell you.
About the plan for today. I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So Freddie is worried he'll die if he's getting transferred to Brixton Prison.
Yeah, we'll see Freddie in prison.
And this cop comes in and is like, hey, Freddie, it's time for you to go. And he's just like, I'm worried that they're going to kill me in Brixton. And he's like, you're not going to make it to Brixton, which could be taken two ways.
Yes, exactly. Like,
hopefully
you're going to die
on the
road.
You're going to die on
the
road.
First time I watched this, I was 100% sure that he was going to die on the road.
Oh, for sure.
Other things happen. We see later.
Campbell meets with Churchill, and they talk about getting honored. And he asks, hey, does your covert agent Grace deserve any kind of reward for finding the guns? And, I mean, Campbell's honest. He's like, yeah, she does deserve it.
I think he has an ulterior motive. This is my speculation, is that he thinks...
Or he wants that on the record.
I think he expects that the day is going to turn out in a way where Grace is going to come back to him.
Well, that's his hope always.
Yes.
But anyway, Campbell says he does not want to arrest the Peaky Blinders because he has other plans for them.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy tells the group that they are going to replace Billy Kimber and have to do the dirty work now. They are going to go to the racetracks to work with the Lees and attack Kimber and his men. And Tommy says he'll deal with Kimber himself.
Right.
Polly brings Ada and her son to the meeting for his first family meeting. They call him Carl. For Karl Marx.
This is so cute, though, because Arthur's like, he looks just like me.
Yeah, it's funny. Ada forgives Tommy because she's like, if what Polly says is true, I do forgive you.
And Tommy's like, it's true. And she's like, yay!
The cop taking Freddie to Brixton is actually working with the Blinders, and he frees him of his handcuffs.
It's so cute, this performance, because the Freddie asks him, like, what's going on, and he's like, oh, the Peaky Blinders came to me, and ready to shake his head, like, Tommy, you know, he's always working all the angles, right? And we see the blinders, like the guys who are still at the garrison who are about to head out, doing this slow walk. There's a rock song that's playing. They are, you see their reflection in a puddle, and they splash through the puddle. Like, you know, we just stir everything up. It is a great analogous
before that,
shot.
Danny gets Freddie out of the car. And
actually, it's after
helps
that.
Helps him escape.
Yeah, Danny does that after. They, you know, see the forges flaring, all that stuff. So Danny has a machine gun.
The machine gun that's the one that was not accounted for.
Right. And you know, Danny is in a truck that has blocked the truck that is conveying Freddie to Brixton Prison. And he, you know, uses the machine gun. He gets Freddie out, and Freddie's like, I thought you were dead. He's like, I've been living in London. It's the same thing. Grace then is pulling beers for the blinders at the garrison. Tommy and Grace discuss that she should be at the next family meeting. She's
well,
like,
okay,
am I going
to
be family?
Before that, Tommy thanks Grace for her help setting up the race ambush, like getting all the information about Kimber's men and all that stuff. Like, she's been doing some of the dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
And he thanks her for that. And he's like, yeah, you can be at the next family meeting. And she's like, am I family? Will I be family by the next team meeting?
Right. And she's kind of, but you see that he is very serious. Like, oh, well, maybe we're going to act like old married people, whatever. And she is starting to
be like,
upset.
Hey, where have you been all day? And say something. He's being he's being cute. He's like joking about it. But she takes it so seriously because she knows that she's betrayed him.
Right. And he's not sure what it is that's causing her to be upset. So he's like, well, you're just talking about marriage upsetting you. I don't know.
We don't have to be married.
So he follows her into the back.
She says that she won't be there when he gets back, and he's like, well, no, but when I get back, I'm gonna be like a different person.
I'm gonna be a legit businessman, and you're gonna help me, and
it's gonna be
awesome.
Great. We don't even have to get married.
Right.
It's gonna be okay.
We know each other, we know how to talk to each other, and he's so sincere about it. And she's like, I've done something terrible, and then they get interrupted because it has come to them that Kimber's men are coming to the garrison. And they've been betrayed. They've been betrayed.
And they have to fight without the Lees because the Lees are already on their way to the racetracks.
And
they can't turn back in time.
And Polly takes Tommy into another room and she's like, how did this happen? We've been betrayed.
Who is the person that you told about today being the day?
And Polly realizes, because Tommy doesn't say anything, she's like, oh, love betrayed you. It's the barmaid, isn't it? And mm-hmm. you see it on Tommy's face, that dawning of, oh, shit. I did this. I created this. And so somehow, like, the guys all basically go to muster, I guess, you know, for the battle that's coming.
Well, and Polly's like, I'll take care of her.
Right. So Polly is alone in the bar, and she confronts
Grace.
Yeah. Grace is alone in the bar. Because it was full, not like a couple of minutes ago. But
well, they're in high alert now.
They are. So Polly asks, confronts Grace. She takes out a hairpin. This is so great.
Which is like a needle.
Yeah, Helen McCrory is just so fucking amazing. Grace points a gun at Polly, and Polly's like, look, I know you're actually in love with him. You know, let me guess through your backstory. You're an Ulster volunteer, aren't you? Which of course she is. Mm-hmm. And Grace puts the gun down and she's like, oh, I'll
you're
fist
a pretty
fight
rich you. Girl, aren't you?
Yeah, and she's like, well, I'll show you how rich girls fight.
I can fight with my fist, thank you very
and
much.
Polly's like, we're women, we're smarter than this. Pour us some drinks and let's talk. And Polly says, the only reason I'm not fighting you is because you saved Tommy's life. And they discuss,
last episode with the whole like saving him from the cops
police,
showing
right?
up.
So they discuss how Tommy was as a child, how soft-hearted he can be, and how the war changed him.
And how Grace says, I'm worried that he's going to kill me. And she's like, and Polly's like, no, he's not going to kill you. He's too soft for that. No,
but
I'm like, you are.
Right.
You're soft too. You've made each other soft, which poor choice of words, really. But
yes,
it's
but Polly basically is like, I'm not gonna ever forgive you. Ever.
He might forgive you.
But
however,
I will not.
And if you don't get out of my fucking city by tomorrow, I will kill you myself.
Right. She calls her snitch the whole night.
Well, I mean she is.
Right. And Grace then leaves. We find out because the main detective goes
Before Grace leaves, she has one final shot at Polly, saying, what really upsets you about the situation is that you might lose Tommy one day.
True. So we find out that the police are actually letting Kimber's men through. Tommy is trying to muster the guys, and he tells Johnny, like, I think this is my fault. I'm the one who betrayed us accidentally, basically. And so when they all get together, Tommy gives a speech. He's like, look, this is like war. This bar is called the Garrison. It's going to be our garrison during this fight. It belongs to us. No one's going to take it. They say it's 3-1.
The guy, no, it's Arthur. It's he Arthur. Goes, oh, fuck. Me too, Arthur. I would say that to that as well.
Right. And so Tommy is trying to re-enlist Jeremiah, the preacher, and he's like, look, I know you made a deal with God.
That you wouldn't hold another, like, take up another weapon.
And Jeremiah's like, God doesn't deal with small heath, which is really hard. It's like, yeah.
I mean, God does, but not in this situation for Jeremiah.
The inspector has the police officially stand down and is going to let dog eat dog in this fight, and then he'll pick the bones, or so he claims. Tommy pours a whiskey and has a conversation with the barman who says, we tolerate you because you're bad men, but you're our bad men. Tommy says,
grace is in the past.
Grace is in the past, and the future is no longer my concern. I've got the soldier's minute. And he's flashing back to having sex with Grace in bed, but he's talking about, like, I didn't have enough minutes in my life, basically, but this is the minute that I've got, and I can only live in this moment. Then Finn runs in and says, they're here. Kimber and his men square off with their Peaky Blinders, and it is, like, OK Corral style. All of them are holding their guns up to see who has what. We see Polly pacing. The detective cop wants to get involved. He's telling the inspector, hey, they've got guns, we're supposed to do something. And he confronts the inspector, he's like, you gave this speech about, like, doing something and not looking the other way, and we're looking the other way. And the inspector's like, oh, I'm not looking the other way, I like what I see, because he basically just wants these gangs to kill each other. Tommy then says to Kimber's men, you want to confront us with guns? Well, let's use some proper guns. And from the back, we get Danny Whizbang and Freddie, who appears with the machine gun. They are all basically about to, like, let each other have it when Ada comes in with the baby, Carl, in the carriage. And she's like, I'm in no man's land. I'm not moving. Who is going to mourn for you all and wear in black, because this isn't going to end well for anyone. And then Kimber shoots Tommy.
In the shoulder. Yes. And then Danny goes to attack Kimber for that, and he gets shot by Kimber and killed. And Tommy, in his rage, shoots Kimber in the head and kills him. And then Tommy's like, well, war's over. We've done it. Whatever,
right? But he's like, you just look, this was just between me and him, it was just us against each other, you go home, is what he tells Kimber's men. We see a visual, and I am very into how well shot this episode is. We see a visual of Danny, who is in the fight. He's tried to step in when Tommy got shot, and he gets shot and killed. And we see Danny's reflection bleeding into a puddle. And it is out of focus, and then it comes into focus, and you really get to see it's really beautifully done. Ada and Freddie are kissing over their baby. Grace then confronts the inspector about, what did you tell Tommy? Tommy knew. What's going on? What did you tell him? And the inspector admits, I told him, that his heart would be broken by the end of the day. And he says, you broke two hearts. And she's like, and my own. Yep. So, we then cut to them pulling the bullet out of Tommy's shoulder on a table in the bar. Jeremiah's doing, he's like, I still got it, which is sweet. They pour rum on it. They drink over Danny.
I would like to mention that at this point, my father said, well, they already have a grave.
That's true, but it's true. The toast is
The toast is to Danny Whizbang. May we all live twice.
Die twice.
Die twice.
And Tommy wants Danny buried on a hill like he wanted. Like in the first episode, we neglected to mention that right before he is supposedly shot in the head, he's like, please bury me up on a hill. Tell my family where it is so that they can come visit me. And so that's the plan now that Tommy has. And so the cop goes to Campbell and tells him that the blinders won and Freddie escaped with the blinders' help. And it's all his fault.
Nothing to do about it because we're not involved.
So the blinders celebrate at the garrison. Tommy is seeing, not Freddie, Danny's body off. And he basically wants to let Danny's kids find their own ordinary work instead of roping them into the blinders because he doesn't want what happened to Danny to happen to them, which is admirable. Campbell calls Churchill and says he's made a decision about his future. Tommy goes to Grace and sees that she's packed. She's ready to go. Mm-hmm. And Grace, she essentially just wants him to stop fighting because she sees he's hurt and she's like, please just stop fighting. And she says that, hey, I love you. And he's like, well, there it is.
And there it goes.
There's no chance. Like, what are we going to do? And she says, well, hey, how about this? I'll be in London in a week. And she gives him her address and she wants him to join her because she has an idea. And Tommy then goes to the garrison and wants to open the bottle of champagne that Grace bought, which Polly points out, oh yeah, it's the one she bought. The Lees apparently took the pitches at the tracks, and so everything went smoothly there, with even without the blinders' help there. And so they are now the third largest race bookkeeping company, legitimate bookkeeping company,
after the
Solomons and Sabinis. Polly tells Tommy, hey, like after Tommy gives that toast, he puts his head on the bar and sighs, and Polly's just like, there is heart, right? Yeah, there will be others. And he's like, to the others. And he drinks wine. Tommy then, in this little montage, he composes a letter to Grace, saying, hey, yeah, no, I don't have a secretary anymore, so I have to do my own letters now. Thanks a lot. And he says he loves her, but he can't leave Birmingham yet to go with her. Her plan apparently was to go to New York. But he will give her an answer in 3 days, and how he usually makes these kinds of decisions after tossing a coin. Meanwhile, in this montage, Grace is at the train station to go to London, and Campbell is also at the station to probably also go to London. And he sees her, and he pulls a gun on her. And Tommy is flipping a coin. It lands, and we hear a gunshot. So that's great.
We are going to have to go into season two, because that is such a great cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. What were your best parts of this episode?
Grace, Polly, Ada, the ending, Tommy, Danny, and cinematography.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like everything about this was incredibly well shot. I have said before, and I really do believe this is one of the best episodes of television ever, period. In a completely different way than Dairy Girls season one episode, season three, episode one.
I'm trying to think about the things that I've given A+ and 2 in the past. Oh, well, let's go to worst parts first. Sorry. Go ahead.
Spoiler. Yeah, but I also think that it was well written, well acted. It was, you know, just, and it is an amazing,
it's good everything.
Episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What were your worst parts?
Campbell and Grace betraying them.
Yeah, Campbell, and especially Campbell in the horror.
Campbell is really bad.
I will say the performance is amazing, but oh my god.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, so what grade did you give this episode?
A+.
Yeah, me too.
It's an A+.
It's an amazing episode.
I'm glad that I now was paying enough attention to the plot to be able to give it an A+, because
I think you were skeptical before. You thought I was crazy.
Yeah, I did, because I wasn't paying that close of attention. But now I am, and I really love it. And so I'm trying to think of the stuff we've given A+ in the past. I know that we gave that episode in season two of The Crown, gold star from Jesus.
That's a great episode.
Like putting him in his, David in his fucking place.
Yeah, that's
a wonderful episode.
Dairy Girls season three, episode one.
Such a good episode.
Yes.
Oh, so wonderful.
Good. Oh, that's end of season two of Downton Abbey.
Oh, oh yes!
It's so good!
Oh my god!
It's
just
a fantastic episode.
Right.
I forgot about the fact that we did Downton Abbey. I love that.
In amazing episodes in a lot of. Isn't there one in season one of Game of Thrones?
Oh, there must be.
When Sean Bean gets killed?
Oh, it might be. It might be. Did we give the. No, we gave the Red Wedding like an A. But
it's like there are some episodes of TV that are so iconic.
I'll have to look back at my notes and compile a list of the A pluses I've given. Yeah. I feel like when we started, I
threw my notes away, so it's like
yeah. I don't, and because they're in my phone. And so I think that in the first season of Bridgerton, we might have given an A or an A plus or something.
I'm pretty sure we gave an A to something, but I don't know about an A plus.
I don't know about an A plus, but either way.
I will tell you the ones we've given A pluses to are episodes that you can watch standalone. Now, I say that about this episode.
No, you can't watch it standalone.
If you don't know anything about Peaky Blinders, it's not going to hit the same way. Same thing with Game of Thrones and Downton Abbey, honestly. Yeah.
You have to have the buildup of relationships. Especially for season two episode whatever of Downton Abbey, the final episode.
But the thing is, they
do such a good one.
This is one of those episodes, in case you're wondering, like this is so great. The first time I watched it, I was crying for Danny Lisbon. It is amazing.
I for whatever reason last night I was watching this movie that mentioned Tess of the D'Urbervilles. And so I immediately went when I heard that, I like in my head I heard Mary, I'm Tess of the D'Urbervilles, dear angel Claire, I am fallen, I am impure. And Matthew be like, don't make this small, not what I'm trying to understand. I love it so much. That's so funny that we brought that up today.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are some really amazing
charades. The game.
The game, exactly. Yeah, who knew that this time period could overlap into other things that we've been watching. But in any case, we love this show.
Yeah,
and there is so much good to come on Peaky Blinders.
Much more to come.
There's so much more to come. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it has completely peaked, but this is such a great episode of television.
It's hard
to compare.
I feel like it's a situation similar to Game of Thrones, where nothing in my mind is going to compare to the first season. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
We need to watch it. I haven't
seen it in a while, and so maybe it does. But I think that this story, this one story, the arc of season one is very compelling,
right?
And a lot happens.
It is beautiful.
I forgot how much happens.
Yeah, a lot happens. There's a lot more that happens with the Shelby family. There are a lot of introductions of characters that are like fucking great. Alfie Solomon's. There's some really this is one of those shows that a lot of actors, much like Game of Thrones, a lot of actors just want to be on the show. So
And so we have a surprise in like season five.
Yeah, exactly. There's some cool shit that happens in these seasons, and we are really looking forward to sharing them with you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.